Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. Let's be honest and admit it. We are often disappointed with the way life is going. But did you know many of the great people in the Bible felt the same way? What marked them out is that they did not leave the Lord. In other words, despite the difficulty and despite all their complaints to God, they never lost their faith. By allowing God to grant to them what we might call the grace of perseverance, they pressed on, and you can too. Our part is to have an active determination to never abandon our faith. How do we get that? Here's Pastor Jim to conclude his message. The Lord is coming. Persevere.
And I know some of these things are, when you're in the midst of it, are hard to hear. But the truth of the matter is that a life without trials, a life without trouble, a life without suffering will never, never produce the depth of faith that God wants to produce in you. It just won't happen. If I have a life without trials, without trouble, God will never produce in me the depth of faith that he wants to produce in me. And so for a lot of us right now, maybe you haven't had a lot of trouble in your life, but right now, this past year or so, it's been tough. And what's happening? Is it causing you to get bitter towards God? Is it causing you to move further away from God? Or is it digging you deeper and deeper and deeper? Now, you may have heard of the patience of Job. A lot of people heard of the patience of Job. And I remember that expression when we went through the book of Job when we first started it. And I have to be honest with you, just truth be told, I was not convinced. I was not convinced of the patience of Job. Job complained a lot. He complained a lot. But I was fully convinced of the perseverance of Job. He persevered in the most difficult of circumstances. And we said this about Job, and it's true about all of us, even in complaining. As long as you're still talking to God, you're in good shape. It's when you go dark. Now, sometimes God's going to go dark on you, and you're not going to really feel like you can hear from him. That's okay. That happens. But when you stop talking to him, that's when you're in big trouble. So what happened to Job? So Satan takes a visit to God, and God says to Satan, "Hey, you know my buddy Job?" And Satan's like, yeah. God goes, "There's none like him on earth. He's blameless. He's upright. He fears me. He shuns evil." Satan, "Oh, come on, God. Come on. Get real. You know that he only follows you because you bless him. He only likes you because you protect him." And then Satan says to me, let me turn up the volume a little on this guy's life. Let me turn up the heat a little bit. And you watch, I'll flip him. I'll flip him. You give me a little bit of time with him, and I can do it." And God said, "Okay." God signed off on it. That really means that any trouble or any suffering that comes into our lives, because God wants to dig us deeper, God signs off on it. Now, I know that sometimes embitters people towards God, but God knows what he's doing, and he's willing to wait for us to come around. And so what happened? Job lost almost everything. He lost all his animals. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his kids. He lost all of his servants. And then his wife comes along. You think she would be wanting to comfort her husband and he would be wanting to comfort her. And she says, why don't you curse God and die? Thanks, babe. Very encouraging. Big help. Big help. But in the midst of Job's complaining, in the midst of his struggling, in the midst of his asking, why God? Why? He never abandoned his faith. He never abandoned his faith. Now, it seems to me, and I'm thinking in New Testament terms, he's a very, very old, Old Testament character. I'm thinking in New Testament terms that Job had a Holy Spirit empowered. Now, when I talk about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, when you put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. But we have to yield ourselves to his power. We have to let him empower us. And it seems to me that Job had this sort of Holy Spirit empowered strength of heart and soul. He had a word we don't really hear used too much. He had fortitude. He was going to fight to continue in the faith. And so when we talk about the patience of Job, I think the word patience is far too passive. So James does too. He uses the word perseverance. Once again, he wants to use an active word. What does it mean for us? Like Job, it means a determination to never abandon God, to never abandon our faith, to persevere to the end. Maybe right now, you are tempted to abandon the faith. Maybe right now, God has preserved you. Whether whichever one you are, maybe right now you need to throw up what we call an arrow prayer, a quick prayer to God. You say, what's an arrow prayer? Well, somebody comes and asks you a question, and as they're finishing up the question, you're like, Lord, please help me not to say something stupid. That's an arrow prayer. Maybe you and I, maybe some of us need to shoot up a quick arrow prayer to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I'm asking you, just keep me to the end. Just keep me faithful to the end, please, please. Look at, again, verse 11, he says, sort of at near the end, he says, and seeing the end intended by the Lord. Let's stop right there. In the end, Job's life was restored. He had bad health too, and he grew deeper in his faith and his trust. Job learned, and Job serves as an example for us that God has a purpose in suffering and will restore all things, because he restored all things to Job. Now, this is the honest truth. I'm not going to lie to you about this. We may not always understand God's plan. Some of you are like, I never understand God's plan. I hear you and I feel you. We may not always understand God's plan, but I've come to learn this over the years. Just the sheer fact that I know that he has a plan has brought tremendous comfort and encouragement to my soul. So I've had to say many times to God, I know you have a plan. I know you know what you're doing. I know sometimes I think you don't know what you're doing. And I know you know that sometimes I think you don't know what you're doing. We both know that I think that sometimes. But Lord, honestly, I'm greatly encouraged, and I'm greatly encouraged that you do have a plan for me. It can also encourage us that as we persevere, we can know God more fully. Despite the adversity that often comes with his plan. And I know that's shocking to you that I might say that adversity might come with God's plan, but but it's the truth. Look at the cross. Look no further than that. Now, verse 12, it's hard to tell if it goes with the preceding verses or the next section, but we'll throw it in here. In preparing for the second coming, he says this, verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." Another version says, "so that you won't fall under condemnation." Now, for a Christian, what does that mean? So you don't fall under God's displeasure. Now, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount had very, very similar teaching to this. Jesus was a little more detailed. So James has told us, we talked about it last week and this week, don't grumble, be patient. What is he saying here? Quite simply, be honest. Be honest. Don't grumble. Don't shoot your mouth off in your impatience, but be honest. Have integrity. Now, I don't think swearing is cursing here. Rather, I think what he's saying is, in difficult times, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to help with something, help. People should be able to trust followers of Jesus. We should be known for our dependability. Our word should be our bond. It should be, if that guy said it, you can bank on it. You may not like what he says, but what if he told you that? It's the truth. On our job, in the workplace, we should be known as truth tellers. In the church, we should not be known as grumblers. We should not be known as people who want to join in the rumor mill. We should want to be people of the truth. We should want to be people who say, you know, that's not true. Years ago, we had someone call out a young person who knew me from being in a small group, called out an older person and said, "What you just said about our pastor is not true. He would never talk like that. I know him. He doesn't talk like that." And the person in front of a group of people admitted, "You're right. He didn't really say that. I kind of redirected some of the wording." We should be people of the truth. Don't make a commitment to something and not show up. God has a calling on your life. Don't leave your calling for other people. God called you to it, not them to it. Another one that really hyper-spiritual people do. Don't tell people that the Lord told you not to do something that you said you would do unless it was a sin. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Don't hide behind the Lord and say, "Oh, I wanted to do it, but the Lord told me not to do it." That's blasphemous. I remember many, many years ago when the church was really just first starting out, we were so desperate for people to help out. And a children's teacher sends me an email on a Saturday night and says, "The Lord told me not to come in and teach the kids tomorrow morning." What? The Lord doesn't want his little ones to hear the word of the Lord? The Holy Spirit's that disorganized that they couldn't schedule you on the right day or something like that? If you don't want to come, just say you don't want to come. But don't say the Lord told you not to come. I don't think the Lord is that disorganized. Like, "Oh, yeah, I had something else for you tomorrow morning. Skip the kids." Especially knowing the way Jesus feels about kids. Perhaps most of all, James is telling us here, and we've talked about this in the life of Abraham, when the pressure's on, don't lie. And then because when you lie, you have to keep lying to cover up your lies. See, when the pressure's on and we lie, or just in general, when we lie, what does that reveal? It reveals that we have a fear of God, a fear of man, and not a fear of God. It reveals a spiritual amnesia and a lack of trust in God. Now, I do believe that many people have the best of intentions. Many people do when they make promises, but then they have second thoughts. Well, what do you do when you say you'll do something and you then have second thoughts? Well, the most honorable thing to do is to do it. The least honorable thing is what a lot of people do is they cancel at the last minute and they leave people in the bind. And they'll say something like this. You know, 3 months ago, I knew as soon as I said I was going to do it, I knew I wasn't going to want to. Okay, why didn't you tell me 3 months ago? In the workplace, I always enjoy it whenever, I shouldn't say I always enjoy it, but sometimes I'll meet someone and they'll say, oh, I work with one of you Jesus people. So I'll ask them, and I was a boss for a lot of years, and I had Christians that worked for me, and it's amazing how some of the same things still prevailing. Now, it's used to be a lot, they used to preach on the job. There's not so much more of that. You don't hear much more about that now. But really, the two biggest knocks I've encountered over the year about Christians in the workplace is they don't keep their word, and they leave their work for other people to do. Or they do the least amount to get by. I've heard some Christians say, you know, he says here, don't make an oath. I've heard some Christians say we should never make oaths. I think you're missing the point. If you're taking notes, Acts 2:30, God says he made an oath to King David. Well, if God makes oaths, then I guess maybe we can. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said that he made an oath to the people that what he writes is true. So then what's James saying? James is saying that in everyday life, keep your word. Keep your word. James is teaching us to stop with the half-truths that make us look good and others look bad. That's just a different form of being a double-minded man. So this section closes. We began with verse 7 and 8. Remember, verse 7 and 8 said, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early rain and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So in verse 7, he says, until the coming of the Lord. Verse 8, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Last week, our title of our message was, the Lord is coming, be patient. This week, it is, the Lord is coming, persevere. What's the motivation when times are tough? I mean, you can try and pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Good luck with maintaining that for a long time. Good luck with maintaining an excitement in the Christian life for a long time in your own strength. What's the motivation? Well, look at the very end of verse 11, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Another version says that he is full of compassion and mercy. You know, one of the problems is we tell people, you know, God loves you. And they go, yeah, he loves everybody. So what? I mean, that's really how a lot of people feel. You know, they say, oh, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You don't know what the plan for somebody's life is. You don't know whether they're going to think it's wonderful or not. Obviously, it is a wonderful plan, but you don't know how they're going to perceive it. You see, I think sometimes people think, well, God loves me because he has to love me. That's not what James is telling us here. James is telling us is that God has a deeply emotional, heartfelt love for his children. Now, People say, well, does that mean we're all children of God? No, we have to be adopted into the family of God by putting our trust in Jesus. How much does God love us? Well, we see it on Christmas morning when God came so near to us that he actually became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And that kind of love, when you know God is merciful, when he's full of compassion, when he really loves you, when you look at the cross and you think, that should have been me. There's no other explanation for him doing that for me other than love. That kind of love internalized through the Word of God and empowered inside of you by the Holy Spirit, that loved ones will help you suffer well. That will help you persevere. Once again, it's always important for us to remember that God has a very definite purpose in our suffering. Once again, we see it at the cross of Christ. On the cross, Jesus reached out to us in mercy and compassion. When God gave his Son to us on the cross, he was reaching out to sinners and saying, I want you in my family. Look at him. Look at him. Look to him and be saved. Look at Jesus dying for you. Turn from your sin. Turn to my Son. Put your trust in him. God's mercy reached out to us by offering us the forgiveness of sins that were against God by having Jesus take the judgment for us. If you're not a follower of Jesus, it can be yours today. There is no need to wait any longer. There is no need to postpone it. Perhaps maybe you're one of these people. I got an email from a guy today, yesterday. I never know. The days all go together. Yesterday, today. And right now on our radio show, we're playing my testimony. And he it was very kind. He said, I was so intrigued listening to your life, how you grew up. I didn't become a Christian until I was 29. He said, I grew up in the church, and I'm not so sure even now, he's a little older than I was, that I really even know God. Maybe you're out there and you're watching right now and you once said yes to God. Remember, he said, let your yes be yes. But if you're really honest, really honest, you will say, I said yes. Mommy led me in the prayer. I said yes. I was at the youth rally. I was at the youth retreat. And they said, you know, hey, if you want to become a Christian, come forward or raise your hand or say the prayer. And I said, yes. Or I was dating a pretty girl or some handsome guy. And I knew they wouldn't go anywhere with me unless I was a Christian. So I said, yes. But I'm being honest with you, Pastor Jim. My yes was a no. It never really was a yes. Tonight, let your yes be a yes, a real yes, not a fake yes. Tonight, you can say, Lord, yes, tonight, this yes is a real yes. This is not a no disguised as a yes. Today, you can make your yes, a true yes to God. And he will forgive you. And he will cleanse you of your sins. And he will give you a new life. And he will adopt you as a child of God. And then as a true child of God, as you wait for the second coming, and you need help, the Lord Jesus will help you to be patient. and the Lord Jesus will help you to persevere.
Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love brings you the great hope of the gospel to equip you to reach others with this transforming message. In a world filled with fear and mistrust, Pastor Jim provides the path to freedom in a clear and transparent style. Changed by Love needs your help to reach thousands, including your friends and neighbors. Find out the ways you can team financially with Changed by Love by visiting our website at changedbyloveradio.org or call 862-217-9686. Pastor Jim would love to hear your story and how Changed by Love has impacted your life or someone you know. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thank you for spending time with Pastor Jim Kevney and Changed by Love.